It's the Pulse of New Hampshire. I am J-Dog, and joining me is a true renaissance man, especially during the Boston Marathon and other marathons that go on as well. And he's got a book coming up about that. An author, as I just mentioned, as well as a scholar, an educator, an educational advocate, as well as a skier, although it looks like ski season is over. Also, a baseball awards presenter and Steve Ballmer's roommate. And Harvard, Intuit Dome is going to be built pretty soon. Looks pretty good from what I'm looking at. Also, the president and CEO of Northeast Delta Dental and the host of Northeast Delta Dental Radio, the doting grandfather, the loving husband and fantastic father, he is Mr. Tom Raffio. Tom, how are you?
Jay, thank you. And don't remember, I'm a two-time winner as well of Dancing with the Stars at NHTI. You know, that's
right.
My
you
other,
are a swell dancer.
Yeah. Hidden talents.
Yep.
But today's guest has to do with humanities, and I was also an English major at Harvard. While Steve Ballmer and Bill Gates were doing science and technology, and they're now billionaires, I was an English major reading Chaucer and Milton, and now I toil in dental insurance with some spare radio, you know. But this allows me to have people like Michael Goldman on, you know? Right, Michael?
That's right. So glad to be here again.
Absolutely. So, Michael, I know that you've been around a little while, so you're not totally brand new. But why don't you, just to kind of level set the audience, if you could give the listeners a brief background on yourself and, you know, what brought you to New Hampshire Humanities, you know, over a year ago.
Yeah, I love talking about it because people keep asking me, like, you know, you do know you're moving to New Hampshire. And I kept telling them that was the whole point. So I've come from Washington, D.C., where I spent several lifetimes working in public history at the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum. So being here at New Hampshire Humanities is really fabulous because it gives me a chance to not only branch into things like Chaucer and the literature side of things, but also really expand to working with communities in a way that I wasn't able to at a national organization in DC. So been up here for about a year and really loving New Hampshire. This is all new to me. So I will use the new guy thing for a little longer. I think I can get away with it.
Yeah, you will. In New Hampshire, unless you're born in New Hampshire, you're always a new guy because I moved up in 1995 and some people still call me the new guy too. So take that as a compliment, actually. I'm glad you're enjoying it. So tell us a little bit about what New Hampshire Humanities is, and also what, you know, what the council does and the importance of it. As I mentioned, I'm an English major. I love humanities. I think, you know, some of our most prolific employee colleagues were, you know, arts and humanities majors and not, you know, MBAs, et cetera. So the importance of humanities from a human civility perspective, which we need more of, and just in general, and tell us again what the council does.
Yeah, I think it's a great point. And I did not know you were an English major. So this is, you know, good news that I can think about that connection for you. It's one of those things that people often question when you're in school. I don't know. Did you get a hard time for being an English major? I was a philosophy major as an undergrad. So, you know, this is the kind of study that people often say, well, how does that relate to the real world? And I think what we've seen is that it is the real world. It is so much of what makes people really great in the world after they go to college or after they go to high school, is their ability to think about the world in the ways that being an English major, being a philosophy major, studying history, studying archaeology, studying law, studying any of these things really brings you that ability to ask tough questions, to think about the world, to understand what the world is about, and to do it with other people in the same room. Right. I think one of the things that we miss is that you really need to have a basis of how to approach those big questions so that you can work together and actually solve the problems that we're facing. So New Hampshire Humanities is really about the public side of that. So even if you didn't go to Harvard and study English, the idea that how do you bring those questions and those ideas out of the humanities out to the public is why we were created. Back in the 70s, it was the U.S. government created the National Endowment for the Humanities and the National Endowment for the Arts at the same time. We're kind of sibling organizations. And they also created the possibility for what they call councils like New Hampshire Humanities to be created in each state. And what that means is that we are a nonprofit, we're not a federal organization, but we are able to match dollar for dollar federal money to what we can fundraise and gather together within New Hampshire to make sure that humanity is getting to a broader public, everyone across the state. We do that in a lot of different ways and for a huge number of different audiences. But what it means is really that we are into your community. The way we work isn't by trying to do everything centrally here in Concord. We try to work through those parts of your community that are doing great things already. So it might be your local library. It could be the historical society in your town. It could be a community center. It could be the small historic house that's near you that you go to. All of these places are the places that we work with and often support both financially and in other ways to make sure that there's all kinds of really great things happening all around the state.
That's awesome. And I think just as an aside editorial comment, I think being an English major, being a humanities major, in addition to sort of teaching you to think, it also, particularly in today's world, when I mentor emerging leaders and students, who are maybe getting their master's or undergraduate degree, they always say, like, the English degree gave me the ability to take in the zillions of emails that we all get every day. I'm not talking about the ones you just quickly delete, but the ones that require you to quickly read and, put out an answer that's, reasonable, that ability came not from getting my MBA, but came from, being an English major. And as mentioned, so many of our most prolific employee colleagues are people that have a, BA, not a, not a BS. And I just put that out there. So I know you have a lot of programs. I know our employees take full advantage. Many of them are virtual. So let's tell us about the various programs you have and also the community partnerships that you reference.
So, there's a huge amount of programs. So if you go to our website, you'll see that there's a ton of things on the calendar. And one of the things I think people miss is that a lot of those programs aren't things being hosted by us directly. We run a program called Humanities to Go, which is like it's a foundational part of what we've done. It's like a speakers bureau where we are able to basically pull together great speakers on a huge range of topics from all around the state and make them available to other organizations. We'll pay for them to go to your local library, to your local historical society, and be part of the community programming that you have near you. This means that if you look on the website, not all of that's being done by our relatively small staff here. That's being done by people all around the state. And we're able to provide the support for that to make sure that kind of programming is available. And when I talk to people who are taking advantage of those programs, they're really amazing people that you get to come to your community who have incredible knowledge, incredible ways of presenting, and really are just excellent examples of humanities programming. So we do a lot of that. And then during the pandemic, as you said, a lot of the stuff's online now. We, like everybody else, had to really move from mostly in-person programs to being online. So one of the programs we created was called Humanities at Home at that point in time. And this is where we're really able to host once a month a program that is available to everybody anywhere in the world online that can cover really wildly different topics. You can go from one day being about mindful writing to the next month to being about, skiing in New Hampshire. You can talk about serious topics like, the ways that the civil rights movement worked, actually before that classic period in the 60s, how important civil rights movements were during World War II, and looking at the Black experience of World War II, over to things that are simply a lot of fun to think about. The range is really big, and it kind of is a great way to illustrate how much the humanities can cover, whether it's something fun to kind of keep your mind entertained, to things that are really important topics to talk about.
So the website is nhhumanities.org, one word. So tell us, I always get this question, how is New Hampshire Humanities funded? Do you rely on memberships, corporate sponsorships, grants, all of the above? This is a great opportunity to make a pitch to the listening audience, as well as other, CEOs and business leaders who may not even be aware of the opportunities. Because I will just say this as another advertisement. Almost weekly, our HR department is putting out programs that our employees can engage free of charge through the New Hampshire Humanities. Simple link. We just put it out there, and you know, it ranges from something really esoteric to something deep, and it's been terrifically received by our employees. And isn't hard to get the messaging out because it's basically a link. But tell us again about the fundraising part of things.
Yeah, it's a great question. So we are not a part of the state. We're an independent nonprofit. So we do rely on individual donations by the public, as well as grants and corporate sponsorships. So this money actually gets doubled because of our relationship to the federal government and the National Endowment for the Humanities. Every dollar that we're able to raise in the state of New Hampshire, we're able to match with federal funding. So that doubles what we can do in terms of what we can bring to the entire state. We are always looking for the corporate sponsors as well. So we have a whole series of programs coming up this spring as we do a roadshow around the state, bringing really great programmings to Littleton and the Seacoast and to the Keene area. So as we do that, often that's a great opportunity for corporate sponsors also to get involved with the kind of programs that we do.
It's a two-way street. Help New Hampshire Humanities and really definitely engages you. And after break, we'll talk about why, with everything going on, sort of the stresses from the pandemic and the current wars that are involved, how humanities are important. Jay, were you a liberal arts major?
I didn't go to college, so.
But you took English in Concord High, right?
Yes, absolutely.
There you go. And I know you're a voracious reader, so.
I am, very much so. we have Michael Haley Goldman, the executive director for NH Humanities. NHHumanities.org is the website. Lots on the website, so go check that out, NHHumanities.org. Alongside Tom Raphael, I am J-Dog. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back with another edition, with this edition of Northeast Delta Dental Radio here on the Pulse of New Hampshire. This is the Pulse of New Hampshire. I am J-Dog, and alongside Tom Raphael, the president and CEO of Northeast Delta Dental and the host of Northeast Delta Dental Radio, is Michael Haley Goldman. He is the executive director for NH Humanities, and the website there is nhhumanities.org, having a wonderful conversation about New Hampshire Humanities, and I will let you both continue the discussion here on the Pulse of New Hampshire.
Perfect. Thanks, Jay. So, Michael, I'm glad that you know that there's a North Country, there's a Keene, there are several different quote unquote New Hampshire. So glad you're taking the show on the road. And again, the website is nhhumanities.org, and we are looking for some corporate sponsorships, and it's money well invested. So given what's going on, the war in Ukraine has been going on for over a year, the sort of the stresses and strains of the pandemic, even though we're technically out of it. I mean, I kind of see a lot of the burnout when I'm out in the community. Why do the humanities become even more important given today's world?
That's a great question. And it is the kind of thing that the arts and humanities are the kinds of things that people sometimes feel like they're an extra, right? Like if we're having a hard time just surviving, why is there room for humanities and arts? And I usually think that's entirely the wrong direction to go. The humanities are amazing, partially because it's a way that people work together. You can't do humanities by yourself. I guess you technically could, but it's really, even then, it's a dialogue with other people who might not be alive. You can't do the humanities by yourself. It's a dialogue with the people in your community. How do you understand the world around you together? And the times when we're most stressed, the times when we are most worried about what to do, how to make the right decision, what's morally the right thing to do, what's ethically the right thing to do, that's when the humanities provides you all of that perspective that really helps with that process. So if you think about how we've been dealing with the pandemic and people are so tired and burned out, opportunities to get people together is what we're hearing about as being really important in the humanities programs we were doing. We run a series that really supports book groups and libraries called Perspectives. And this is a series where we provide the book and we provide a speaker who can help moderate a discussion. And what we heard over and over again from audiences at these programs was what they really cared about was being in the room talking about an important topic or talking about a perspective from a book that was new to them or ideas they hadn't thought about with their community. how they heard ideas from people that they would not have thought of, how they got insight into the book in a way that they wouldn't if they didn't have that joint dialogue around it. And that's what the humanities is really good at, is giving you that perspective and bringing it together with everybody in your community to help really look at the future.
So intellectually stimulating, and we need to do more of that. So as you mentioned, you've been here about a year. So what have you discovered? You know, as I mentioned, this definitely different parts of New Hampshire. North Country is completely different than Nashua, which is completely different than the Seacoast. So what have you discovered in your first year in the Granite State?
Well, you know, it's funny because that is one of the things that I learned really quickly in my first year was how much people care about the regions and the towns that they're from all across the state. If you talk to people, I very quickly learned to not mispronounce Berlin and to really, you know, try to get the names right, and that people really feel deeply tied to the places that they come from here. And, you know, I've been in the Washington, D.C. area, which, you know, to some degree, is a fairly transient area. There's a core community that's been there for a long time, but a lot of people come and go and they don't feel connected to it. So to come to a place like New Hampshire and see how much people care about their hometowns and what's going on in their main street and who the characters are in their community and what they're talking about, that's been really fabulous to learn about. So many people know so much about their stories and want to learn more. They want to learn more about these places. And to me, that's just a fabulous place to be a part of.
No, you're so right. I mean, there's Jay Lucas, who grew up in the Claremont area, has the Sunshine Initiative, and he grew up there. And essentially, you know, when he went back and the area looked a little bit in disrepair, it's kind of rejuvenated the arts and theater there. And then, you know, and they're trying to replicate that in the west side of Manchester. So people definitely care. And I think that will definitely sort of, you know, work to your advantage, because the way that you're trying to integrate the New Hampshire humanities into the fabric of the communities. So what, I'm sure you've done some strategic envisioning either with your board or by yourself. Tell us what's ahead for New Hampshire humanities.
Well, we're really excited to kind of be looking far into the future. So, I'm really interested in how the humanities helps us think about what we want to become. And so we've got a number of programs coming up over really the next 3 years that we're calling Becoming New Hampshire. And it does rely, like so many other organizations, we're all really interested in story. But the reason I think we're interested in story is because that's that place where it all comes together, where your history, where your perspective all happens. And to me, Becoming New Hampshire is a chance for us to think about what is the story that we tell about ourselves. What are the parts of that story that we might not be thinking about? What are the perspectives missing? Whose voices aren't in that? And then what stories do we want to be told going into the future, going into not only 2026, but 2036? What do we want people to say about New Hampshire? What do we want to become as a state? And the humanities is a great way to frame that conversation. So we're going to be doing a huge number of different programs. I'm hoping we'll be doing oral history. We've got projects working on that. I'm hoping we'll be doing some other things about helping people collect stories. But in the short term, we're going to be doing this roadshow I mentioned that's going to be focused on story and different ways we tell story around the state. So we'll have one program that's going to be looking at story and dance. We're going to do another program that's going to be looking at story and film. Another one that's going to look at Abenaki storytelling. And that's going to be happening, again, it's got five different locations all around the state. And that's a lead-in to bringing back a statewide read in the fall for New Hampshire. And we're going to be focusing on a book that's very much about storytelling called The Bear by Andrew Krivak. And Krivak is talking about those exact same problems. Who will tell our story into the future, and what story do we want that to be? So that's where we're going to focus for the next year or so.
I think you're right on the catbird streak, because the story, that's a component of what other organizations are trying to do, like the New Hampshire Business Committee for the Arts, which you're aware of, and I'm chair of that board, and also Excellence North Alliance. So that's great to hear, and you're taking it on the road. So can you, as we kind of wind down, and again, if you want to be a sponsor or get involved, the website is nhhumanities.org. But can you, in our little 2 minute close here, tell us how you can bring the abstract of humanities into sort of a pragmatic, how to get engaged and actually do something.
Yeah, I think it's one of the things that when you talk about, you know, doing the humanities, I think that's mystifying for people. Even when you talk about doing the arts, most people don't think of themselves as artists and don't want to perform, for example. I think the best way to get involved with the humanities is to get involved with your community and all the different ways that it's manifesting itself. So if you think about the fact that you might have a local historical society that's interested in the history of your town, well, what are the ways that you can help tell the story of your town? Getting involved with your local library, it's one of the other places where, you know, all of the knowledge that's held by the libraries and that they help bring out to the community and the different ways they do that are really important ways to get involved. Those are the organizations that we're also trying to support. So how do you get involved in your community and how do you think about the ways that you can help be a carrier of that memory and of that history in your own town is a great way to start getting involved with this. There's no ending of ways that people tell stories, but most people don't think of themselves as storytellers. And so if you can even witness stories, that's an important part that you can play in the larger picture.
Awesome. So as you kind of think about your role, and hopefully you're here for a long time, I think you're loving it. You know, you like to go outdoors and put it all together. If you were making an elevator pitch speech, why should someone, you know, either, you know, donate their treasury or time to New Hampshire Humanities?
You donate your treasure and your time to New Hampshire Humanities because you care about the cohesion of your community and the cohesion of the state and how we're all working together towards the future.
I love that, the cohesion. And of course, we all know that that famous book, you know, Bowling Alone, when the social fabric starts dissipating a bit, and obviously in sort of the last couple of years of the virtual world, even though I know it's all opening up again, that social fabric, you know, starts to get into a little bit of disrepair. So it's awesome that, you know, that you're working with a partners, you know, to bring it all together. The website is nhhumanities.org. Is there in the next, if there's a can't miss educational segment or on the road show coming up, what would the top two be?
Well, so I'm really excited. The 10th of May, we will be doing a program here in Concord with the Red River Theater and a great partner for us to work with. That's going to be looking at a historic film and that really looks at race in New Hampshire back in the 1950s. So that's going to be really a great program. And then up in Littleton on May, I have to look at my calendar, May 24th. We're going to be up in Littleton, and we're going to be talking about the stories people tell about the Mount Washington area. So those would be two fun things to do, two very different parts of the state, and there's about five other programs. We hope people will join us.
Wow. And, of course, on June 17th, Jay, I'll be up at Mount Washington myself, the Delta Dental Mount Washington Road Race. Now, you know, yep. Michael, driving to Littleton, got to leave plenty of time.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I'm trying to be on the road. I'm trying to think about it in terms of Washington time. An hour would get me into downtown D.C. on the train. So an hour to Littleton isn't a big deal.
Yeah, this you get to drive through the notch and all that. So nhhumanities.org. I think this is what separates, you know, humans from animals, humanities, Jay, and it's so important for civility. So we're blessed that, you know, somehow Michael was brought into New Hampshire and he's here doing a great job. So, Michael, thanks for your leadership. And offline, I'll be following up with you as far as the whole stories concept. So thank you.
Thanks so much.
Lots of events going on. NHHumanities.org if you want to find out a lot more, as Michael had talked about. Michael Haley-Goldman is the executive director for New Hampshire Humanities. NHHumanities.org. Another edition wraps up of Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Fear not. Be back with another edition here on the Pulse of New Hampshire. So for Michael Haley-Goldman, as well as Tom Raffio, the president and CEO of Northeast Delta Dental and the host of Northeast Delta Dental Radio, I am J-Dog. We'll be back with another edition on the Pulse of New Hampshire.